5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on.
The all-new Panic Room radio show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Well, good evening. Good evening. Well, it's not a good evening for me. I'm having a right day, but it is. I don't know what day it is. I thought it was just Thursday. It's the 25th of something or other, July, I'm guessing. And it is the new Panic Room, episode 151, 9:30 Central Time. And, it is. It's been... we got a new Prime Minister in England. I suppose that's the news, which is... and he's pretty much a Donald Trump clone. He's just a blonde, floppy-haired oaf. So, yeah, things are going to get a lot better, I'm sure, across the pond. Nowhere to go for me. I came here and we got Trump. I go back. We've got Boris Johnson. So, yeah, pretty much screwed either way. But anywho. I've missed her this week, and she's always a little jolly little ray of sunshine. So I think we'll bring her on.
I cringed. I was like, oh God, I can't believe he's playing that. But now I cheer up and I get smiles.
I know. I mean, the other week when I haven't, you get a face on. You're not playing the theme tune.
I know.
You speak just like that. So, I hope you've had a better week than I have, my dear. It's been a grim one for me. I've just been, very frustrating, and my computer's decided it's gonna go on a go. So I think it's slowly but surely grinding. In fact, it actually grind to a complete halt this afternoon. You know, you sit down, and think, I'll just do this, and 15 minutes later, I'm waiting for it to reboot because it froze. It's off for fuck's sake. Yeah. I can literally now pretty much do one thing at once. I make the mistake of having a couple of apps open. You got that little spinning beach ball thing. It's like, no, I don't want that. I just want to do this.
You know, I just had this issue a couple of months ago. I had to, get a new laptop, but because I was having the same issues. You know, it came on really fast too. It seemed to anyway, but I mean, I'm sure it really didn't. It was just I just was noticing it more and more. But need to do something, and something simple. I'm like, I'm just gonna hop on and do this real quick, and 10 minutes later, I'm still waiting to do the same thing. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That's getting
to the point now where it's the time. This is just wasting my time that could be productive time. And yeah, so I'm consequently, so I mean, I've had this 5 years now, so she's done well. But I need it to do better, to be honest with you. So we'll get that.
I wanted to report that the boyfriend made me watch the news last night, so I could keep up with current affairs.
Oh, my goodness me.
Well, I know, but bad news is that I fell asleep during it.
He still tried, though.
Yeah, no, I think I saw the weather. It's going to be, hot.
It's going to be hot while there. Yeah, you really didn't need to see that, did you? Be honest.
No, not really.
No.
So that's that was exciting. Oh, and I wanted to. Can I talk about it now that I watched Hereditary? You know, you
yes,
said you have
you
to
can.
Watch the movie.
Yeah,
and I watched
did.
It. I didn't like it. Okay, now let me say there were some really scary parts that scared the crap out of me. And there were some moments that I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I just saw that. And I really liked the whole thing where you weren't sure if this was, like, you know, some kind of mental illness or not. But then at the end, when the ending happened, I didn't care for it as much. I was like, I wish that we had.
No,
I wish that the whole time that it maybe left us wondering still. You know what I mean? I don't want to put too many spoilers out there in case anybody hasn't watched it, but I don't know. Maybe that's what it is. You know, usually when you say you got to watch a movie or you have to watch something, I'm like, holy crap, that was amazing. And this time, I wasn't as amazed, so maybe that's what it is. I was a little underwhelmed. Yeah.
It was just so wonderfully different from the Blumhouse jump scare stuff that we sit and watch a lot of, you know, the Annabelle films and all of that, you know. But I think, you know, I you know, people, it seems to polarize people, you know. You know, people absolutely love it and people who absolutely hate it. You know, my daughter loves it. It's great. I mean, we it's one we've sat and watched together a few times now, so I've seen it. Even though, you know, it's one of those. You probably don't want to sit and watch it again, you know. But after a couple of times, you know, it's like, I guess, the sixth sense. Once you know what the twist is and what's coming, you see the little signs. I mean, if you remember the spoiler alert, I guess they're looking in the book when they're looking at what sort of demon this is, and there's a like the old lithograph picture of it and on a horse, and it's got a whole bag of human heads, which is a great little, you know, thing. Obviously heads are its thing, and that theme runs through the whole movie.
I can see that.
It's just a little thing. In fact, there was one week, probably about the fifth time we saw it, and it was actually my daughter. She's on the ceiling. What? And then you look, and the mother is literally doing a demon up on the ceiling. It's like, wow, I've seen that several times before. I didn't even notice she was up on the ceiling.
The bad thing was is I didn't notice it right away. So when I did, it really freaked me out. And I have to say that for two nights after that, when I would get up in the middle of the night to go pee, my mind would say there's, you know, she's up on the ceiling, and it freaked me out so much. But I was like, I was like, I'm not even going to look. I'm not going to look. It's going to have to just get me. I'm not going to look. So, you know, but two nights in a row. So that it affected me. It did do that. And that's cool. You know, that's a cool.
I mean, it's occasionally nice to see a movie like that, other than I like some of these that you've literally forgotten them as the end credits are rolling. And if somebody said, what was that about? Yeah. Whatever. He's zoned out for, you know, 90 minutes or whatever, 2 hours, and couldn't tell. It's like, I mean, you know, a lot of these Blumhouse ones, The Conjuring and The Annabelles and all the rest of it, and it's like, No, couldn't tell you.
Yeah, you know, what was that movie? Oh, the remake of Pet Sematary. I know that, I saw a thread going on Facebook not too long ago with, you know, some of my horror author friends, and they were saying, well, like Jeff Strand, he was like, you know, I really liked it. He's like, but I can't tell you anything about it right now because I forgot it as soon as I watched it. So, you know, I'm to me, that says it wasn't that good.
For me, it didn't really, it didn't add anything to the story. The original film was great. I said last week, and I saw that again fairly recently. Mm-hmm. It just popped up on my, you know, Freeview thing. You know, getting the free movies through the cable. Mm-hmm. But I'll watch that. You know, it's always and you know, and it was still very good. The book was fantastic. I don't think they didn't really add anything.
No.
I think if you'd not seen the original, maybe you've not read the book or whatever. I think if you read the book,
going into it,
you'd have probably been disappointed because they deviated from the book a fair bit.
Totally. If you have not read the book, if you had not seen the original, I could see you thinking it was an okay movie. But I read the book. I watched the movie. And for me, when it ended, I just wanted to watch the original. I was like, yeah, I just want to watch that one. So.
I was just saying, in fact, when I watched the Poltergeist remake all the way through it, I just wanted to switch off and put the new one on, put the old one on.
Yep, that one was.
Why did they do that? And, well, you know, the original is a classic. Again, that's one of those movies that, you know, if it pops up, I'll watch it. And if it just happens to come across on the TV, I'll sit and watch it because it's just brilliant.
It is.
They remade it and it was awful. Whoever did that. It was terrible.
I agree. I wasn't a fan of that one at all either. But, you know, I think it also has to do, sometimes it has to do with the characters. I mean, you know, we all loved that little Heather O'Rourke girl, the one who played. What was her name? Carrie Ann.
That was her name,
Caroline. We all loved her. And I think that was a. And for Pet Sematary, who didn't love Gage? I mean, he was cute.
Yeah.
He really was. And even Ellie was really cool. So, you know, they messed with some things that they just probably shouldn't have messed with, I think, you know.
They just leave it alone. That would be my advice. Just pick some of these original things, original books that we've seen, you know, because there's some brilliant, brilliant, brilliant ideas out there, you know.
There are. Anyway, that's our recap of what we've been watching for the last couple of, you know, the last week or so.
Pretty much. So I'm assuming, I'm assuming we have some sort of show going on this evening. Or is that it? Can I go now?
No, we do. And I'm really excited because I think it's been a while. It's been a while since we've talk to them. We have Thorn and Cross Haunted Nights Live, Alistair Cross and Tamara Thorne on tonight. And
it's Tamara. Fantastic. I like Tamara. I've done the joke to death of Tamara, but should we bring them on? Should we?
We should.
Right, you introduce them and I'll bring them on. Do it properly, for goodness sake.
Okay. Thorn and Cross, Haunted Nights Live, Tamara Thorne and Alistair Cross. Woo!
Hello.
Yay. Wow.
Hello.
Hey. How are you?
I noticed that Eckstein is deliberately avoiding saying Tamara, and I'm not because
well, James,
you know.
Lawnmower. I don't mind if you say that.
Good, because I'm going to say it anyway. So, you know, I'm sorry. I've had the last 2 days from hell. I really have. So I'm just in a mood, to be honest.
So he's going to take
proper,
it on us.
Proper mood.
You know?
Yes, I am. So, you know, you're on the show. What do you want?
First of all, I have to say I totally agree with your what you said about Pet Sematary. I really like that you said that because I felt the same way. Absolutely. As soon as I got done watching it in the theater, I went home and watched the original. I'm like, whatever. Good job. You have good taste.
So, are there any films recently they've remade that have been as good as? I mean, I don't even say better than the original. I'm thinking The Hills Have Eyes was good. They remade both of those. They were good. I think Dawn of the Dead was good. The remake, I actually enjoyed. And the Dawn of the Dead for me is like one of my favorite films of all time. Just behind Jaws, I think, is one of my favorite films.
Oh, nice.
And I'm struggling now. I can't. I mean, there's been a lot of remakes, and I can't think of any that have been really on a par
now,
with the originals.
Now, I don't
know
if you'd
call
it.
I just find it was good.
Yeah.
Which one?
It.
Yeah, that was
true. That's true.
That was gone.
And I did love Hereditary, I
got to
say.
You did like it?
I know it's not a remake, but yeah. I did, primarily because it was better than I expected, because most horror movies suck. And I was captured when the creepy little girl got that bird. And I did kind of like the ending, although I liked it mostly because I figured that's how it was going to end. So I always like it when I figure them out. So that's probably not a good thing. But what I really hate are all these movies where they don't talk, you know, and they expect you to actually look at the screen. I'm way too ADD for that. I don't look at TV most of the time. And I hate those. So Hereditary was kind of cool. But I don't watch Pet Sematary. I don't like cat horror. No. Read it once. Watched the first movie once. That was enough.
Well, I think a lot of the problem with the new Pet Sematary was they were I don't know if you read the book. To me, it's incredibly visceral, and as it should be, it's upsetting. You know what I mean? And the original movie was too, not quite as bad as the book. But the thing that I thought, where I thought the new Pet Sematary really fell down, and where probably a lot of Hulu movies are falling down, I think, in my opinion, is they're being too soft. They're being too careful. It's like I kind of came out of, you know, the theater going, well, I'm glad that they were so concerned about my feelings, but that's not why I go see horror movies. Upset me, you know, scare me.
I saw the original in the theater, and all I really remember, besides just kind of cringing because I didn't want to see fake dead cats or don't like that somebody actually, honest to God, brought like a 2-year-old in there, and at the end where the kid on the screen is doing horrible things, killing his mother. This kid starts screaming its head off. Not that I blame it. And the ushers had to come and take the parents and the kid out of there because the parents weren't going to leave. They were going to keep tormenting the child. And it's like, I don't like children myself, but I wouldn't do that to a kid. That was a horrible thing to do. And that's pretty much my whole memory of the movie. Yeah. What an awful thing to do.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, I like what you just said, though. You don't like kids either, because, you know, I have two of them, and I saw a post earlier today, and it was like, which one of your kids are your favorite? And you know what? I don't like either one of them, really. So,
you know. My grown-up kid is my favorite, but really, we have cat children. You know, we like them best. They don't make a lot of noise, and they don't cry and scream.
Yeah.
They don't smell bad.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and they don't talk back. They don't. Yeah, they're just they're great.
They
yeah,
just sit
so,
on your face and demand food. And, you know, I can deal with that.
No, and I with Pet Sematary the remake, I have the very end. You know how it ended. I thought that was kind of cool. I mean,
yeah,
but you know. If I had not seen the movie, if I had not read the book, it would have been cooler. I mean, maybe I could have walked away going, hey, that was a pretty good movie. But, you know, just knowing, you know, what the actual book was and I think that the original movie did follow the book pretty good. I mean, I don't remember
it really did.
An awful lot. Yeah.
It really did.
If it has,
you just got a little more detail in the book than you did the movie.
Yeah.
But my big thing with the remake is there were so many things. But for one thing, what was up with Zelda falling down the dumbwaiter? What was that?
Yeah, that was
what the hell did that have to do with anything? That was silly.
It wasn't even that scary. I remember Zelda scared the crap out of me in the movie, the original. Oh my gosh, that was probably the most scary part for me was Zelda. The whole "I'll get you, Rachel" and her running.
Oh
no,
yeah.
Oh, that
totally,
was horrible.
Totally.
So you know, they kind of made her comical.
Kid.
Yeah, they kind of made her comical. So you know, it wasn't scary at all.
Exactly. Exactly. I was like, I don't care. Everybody, you know, everybody watches it now and they're like, that's obviously just a guy in a bad nightgown. And I'm like, I don't care. It's creepy. It's still creepy.
Yeah.
But yeah, the new one, I'm like, what the, I don't know if I can swear on your show, but I'm like, what the F?
Yes, you can. Yeah, you can.
Okay, what the fuck? What? This is ridiculous.
Yeah, I was not.
Bam, she fell down the dumbwaiter. Why? We don't know. China.
That's what I was going to ask. I mean, I can't remember how she died in the boat. She just died, didn't she? She was in bed and just died.
She choked, I think.
She didn't need all the drama of the dumbwaiter and all that bullshit. I mean, that was just stupid.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell that was. I know. What the hell?
Now you're afraid of dumb waiters. I mean,
I know, right?
There was a movie, and which one was it that they used it a lot? Oh, it was the Hell House, the TV series.
Hell
House. Now that's good use.
They used
a dumb waiter. Use of
that.
A dumb waiter. Yeah,
brilliant.
That was good use of it.
Yeah.
That was good use of a dumb waiter for sure. But not
that was
not
well done.
It was.
Haven't watched it a second time though. I don't know if I'm going to, but it was good. It was spooky.
I was just speaking of remakes and reboots and whatnot. I'm a little bit excited. Just the trailer for Zombieland 2 has just dropped, and I can't believe anybody who isn't looking forward to that movie. Yes, for real.
Yeah,
got all the old gang in it, and it looks brilliant. So I'm going to be in theaters in October, according to the trailer. So I'm so excited.
It will. That's definitely one of my all-time favorite movies. You know, there's so many movies out there, and it's the same goes for songs. If anybody catches you off guard and they say, what's your favorite song or what's your favorite movie, you have to have a go-to. Even if it's not necessarily true, you have to have, like, a quick answer. So, that's mine. Zombieland is my go-to. So.
Yeah.
Right. Well, could be worse.
Mine's Blazing Saddles.
You know, I never found that. The only part of that movie I found funny was the campfire scene and the farting. That was it. The only bit I laughed at. I just don't find the guy amusing.
I watched it.
They put up the whole thing. I guess we're gonna need a shitload of dimes, and we fall apart. We probably watched that movie every other month. Our whole lives.
Wow.
And Airplane.
maybe
and Tombstone. That would be my favorite serious movie.
Oh, Tombstone.
I like some cowboys.
Is the movie as good as the TV series?
TV series? Oh, you mean Deadwood?
Deadwood I'm thinking. Sorry, I'm not over here.
Deadwood
is
my all-time favorite TV series. Hands down. I don't even have to think about that. I love it.
They made a movie of it was Deadwood, wasn't it? To sort of wrap up the series.
Unbelievably good. Yeah. Just watched it.
Yeah, I've never really been a big Western fan, really, to be honest. But
Me neither.
Yeah. No.
I am.
I think I'm going to make an effort. I'm going to find Blazing Saddles, and I'm going to sit through it again, because it's been a long, 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 long time since I did. But then again, I remember because Mel Brooks did Spaceballs, and that was just execrable. It was just like the most unfunny thing ever. Producers was painful.
I can't think of any
decent Mel Brooks thing that was. I mean, Young Frankenstein, I suppose, was okay, but I think that was multi.
Robin Hood, Men in Tights is good. But he's pure old vaudeville. He's corny. But Spaceballs has one great scene in it, and we watch it over and over, and then we skip the rest of the movie. And that's the alien takeoff, where the guy comes out, the thing comes out of his chest, and then dances along the counter and sings "Hello, my baby." I love that. But that's the only thing I like in that whole movie.
That would amuse me. But sit through a 2-hour film just for that.
Just go to that spot. You own the DVD.
Right. They remade the producers. It was just like, what the fuck is this? And it went on for like
exactly
2.5 hours. And like halfway through, they literally recap the first half. So the second half of the movie pretty much is the first half in recap form. And I love the premise.
Yeah.
I love the premise.
The original is good.
No, don't do that. Because it was Matthew Broderick, I think, in the remake. It's like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Oh, it was
go home
dreadful.
To Sarah Jessica Parker. You know, she'll stop you.
So, what do you like best, the original Kubrick's Shining or the TV series McGarris's Shining?
Neither.
Really?
What? Oh,
neither.
I have an answer
to it's
that.
Funny. I thought quite recently, I saw The Shining pretty much when it came out years ago. Not seen it since, and I'll sit and watch that. And I don't know. It's Kubrick, obviously, but the directing was awful. The acting was terrible because it was at the beginning when Nicholson's being interviewed. And you could tell. I've directed short movies. Obviously, I'm no Spielberg, but you can tell the difference between an actor who's just talking to the camera and there's no one there, and an actor who's talking to someone. Because usually you put somebody at least behind the camera, so they've got something. It's just something subtle about an interaction between a human and a human, and a human and just a camera. And you could tell Nicholson was just talking to thin air, and it was just. probably for the 500th time, but it was just like so wooden. It was awful, and the editing was the whole thing was just. I love the book, one of my favorite thing books.
Yeah. It's a great book.
But it was just no.
Oh,
TV
I love
thing,
it though.
Watching that
now, I was a fan of the book. Of course, I did like the movie. There's some really the original. There's some really good. I liked it, but I did rewatch it a couple years ago with my son, and I have to admit, I do think that as far as acting goes and stuff like that, there were definitely some scenes where I was like, oh my gosh, I cringed because the acting was kind of bad, but I think it was a great movie. I did like the miniseries. I really did. I think it followed the book better.
King said he doesn't like the movie, but I think King was involved more. Oh, he was actually involved in this miniseries, so it was closer to Doctor Sleep is going to be out, I think, either next month or October, which is the sequel to The Shining. Follows young little
Ben
Torrance.
Is that good?
The
previews look good. The previews look really good, and I didn't care much for the book. There wasn't enough shiny stuff in it. And
I liked it because of that, actually. Because again, it's done the shiny thing.
I like the shiny stuff, though. That's my favorite book. But film looks great.
Not for you, then. Huh?
They've redone parts of the Kubrick version. Scenes from it to put in, and I'm looking forward to that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'll probably not
spend $50 to go to the cinema to see it. I'll wait when it comes on cable or something.
Definitely.
Oh, I always do that. Yeah. I never go to the theater.
Well, it's
I'll,
funny,
I'll go see
I,
it because I have
to
tickets.
The movies, but it's become. In fact, the last thing me and my daughter went to see was Secret Life of Pets 2, which is a great movie actually. But they were going around the multiplex, and they seemed to, whether they did it deliberately or not, I don't know. But it's a kids film, and there's some quiet bits there, and they put us next to some fucking I don't know Avengers movie or whatever, and it was literally the vibrations from the movie next door. Was actually juddering our seats. And there was a whole bunch of Secret Life of Pets 2 we couldn't hear. And it spoiled it. And then my daughter, she movie comes out. And well, unless we go to see the big boomy movie, we're not, we'll wait while it comes out on the TV. But ironically, I've actually I've got a soundbar, bought one of these soundbars, I've got the bass cranked up so we can have our own cinema experience,
at home. But all we need now is somebody to kick the back of a seat and people to get up and down and walk back and forth to the toilet. People to talk through it. I need somebody to come and sit next to me to talk through it and then be on the phone. You know, just to get a full experience.
Yeah. Oh, it's horrible.
Maybe some gum on the floor, you know.
Yes, that's it. And something questionable on the seat that's a bit damp. Some dampness on the seat.
Yeah.
Always.
Of course, then you need to get $50 in cash and just flush it down the toilet. Just, you know, because you know it's like, you know, $8 for a tiny bag of caramel M&Ms is just like, you know, just literally just cut out in the middle now, just flush your money down the toilet.
It's totally true. I can't believe how expensive it is. I think the last time I went there, I wasn't alone, but we got the tickets, popcorn, drinks, and I think like, you know, two candies, you know. Anyway, it was over $30. I was never again. Never again. Yep. Never again.
We didn't even have the popcorn.
And this was to see Pet Cemetery, which I didn't even like.
That's it. If it's a film you don't like, that's even the worst, isn't it? Yeah. But the concessions is where they make the money. I mean, they don't.
Yeah.
By the time everybody's taking the cut from the ticket price, there's very little left for the theatre. So in some respects, you know, I don't mind paying that because that's supporting the theatre. But, yeah, you just have to budget. Just for me and my daughter to go, you know, to the movies, budget, you know, $50, $60. Easy.
Crazy.
You know. Yeah. Having said that, you know, we are going to go see it part two. Because we saw part one on IMAX, and it was, I think it was 3D IMAX, and it was pretty awesome. So, yeah, we'll go see that.
Yeah.
But,
we're saving the pair of gift tickets
movies
we were given from last Christmas. Since Star Trek, the next Star Trek never happened. So that's what, we have friends that always give us a pair of tickets. And that's how we'll go to the theater, because we won't pay it either. We go at matinee time and do the cheapest thing possible.
Right.
But now that there's no other Star Trek coming out, we will use those to see it. So.
Yeah, you said they're not making any more Star Trek movies.
There's nothing on the horizon, no. I looked
Seriously?
It up and it looks
no.
like... Yeah, and it's like, why would you do that to me? I live for Star Trek.
I love the Star Trek movies.
I know,
they're
wonderful.
They were not making
any more.
Especially
that first one. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want more.
Yeah.
Chris Pine's a better Kirk than Shatner ever was.
He was like an actor.
Perfect.
I think Zachary Quinto is pretty good as... He's a great young Spock. He's just him, isn't he? He's great. I love him.
He is, and the McCoy, Carl Urban, he's fantastic. They're all good. Simon Pegg, who could say no to Simon Pegg?
Simon Pegg is Scotty. They assembled a really good cast. Obviously, was it the guy who played Anton Yeltsin who played Chekhov? Was it Chekhov? He died, sadly.
Yeah, right after it came out, that was sad.
I know, it was awful. Run over by his own car. Which was actually it was a Lexus. It was actually a fault with the car that just.
There was a recall on it. Yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah, it was a bit late for him, but yeah, it was it was tragic. That great. Yeah, he popped up on the Fright Night. And that was Anton, and I didn't realize that was him in there, and it was good. Again, that's probably because it had Anton Yeltsin and David Tennant in it, so that probably made it decent.
I have been wondering who is watching Handmaid's Tale. Is anybody a fan of that show? Anybody watching?
Who's what?
What was it?
Handmaid's Tale. The Handmaid's Tale?
Oh, no.
I'm not getting to the third season. I thoroughly enjoyed season one and two. I got halfway through the first one of season three, and it's just like,
The first two
were fantastic. I mean, absolutely,
binge
watched those. They were brilliant.
Like, I'm not quite sure where they're going this season. I don't know how I feel about it. The last episode I saw, I was not a fan of. I was like, I sat through the whole thing wondering what, you know, when it's going to get good, and it really never did.
I think they maybe got as far as they can go with it, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, they're just trying to milk it because it was successful.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, she's done it. I mean, she did that, had the kid, handed over. She's back now, back where she started, pretty much. So other than do it all over again, I don't know what they can do.
Yeah, exactly.
But what can they do? I mean, the world is, I mean, it's so beautifully, you know, built. The only way they could really take it further is to have all that collapsing, is to have her somehow subverting, you know, the system. But I can't see how she could do that. Unless she leads the rebellion or something. But I don't know.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'll be watching it, to be honest. I don't think I've got enough. You know, enough stuff to watch. Mm-hmm. There's always
one of the things like Santa Clarita Diet, you know, that light stuff.
Oh, yeah. They canceled it.
They did.
Well.
I saw the rest of the third season. Now it's gone. We're very disappointed. And watching Timothy Oliphant, who I always think of as Seth Bullock from Deadwood, grin is really disturbing, and that helps.
Nice.
Yeah.
No, I'm just close to, or I just saw the end of season one of Stranger Things. I've never seen it before, so
what you think?
I'm watching that, and I like it. But I like it. I'm just gonna go with I like it. But for me, the whole 80s vibe, and you know that to me is the part that I like the best. So the supernatural stuff. It's cool. I like it because they do like supernatural stuff. But at the same time, it kind of gives me a feel of the Firestarter, the shop from the Firestarter.
X-Files for kids.
Yeah. But I like the kids.
Well, the new season was pretty brilliant. They really ramped up the gore.
I thought that was the best one. I didn't like season two at all. There was too much animal horror in it, and there's too much government crap and all that. But the third one, they really did that up nicely.
Yeah. And it was good that the bad guys were Russians as well. I mean, getting back to basics.
Yeah.
You know, let's blame everything on the Ruskies, you know. But, like Donald Trump, for example. I mean, you know, they really couldn't orchestrate a horror greater than Donald Trump. So, you know,
exactly.
Thank you, Putin.
It really resonated. Yeah. Big time.
Oh, you know, so, I normally don't get political on this show, but we have a new prime minister now who is just an oaf. I mean, he is Donald Trump, but in English. If you imagine Mike Myers doing, you know, Donald Trump international spy, that's Boris Johnson.
Oh, jeez.
If you
we're all doomed.
Post a thing of him in an interview, and I've said this before, you know, good politicians need to be good orators. They need to command with their spit. And all. I mean, Trump cannot. He just blathers on like a 2-year-old with autism. Johnson's the same. You know, they have this thing with apologies to anybody with autism. Somebody posted this interview he had over in England, and he was just like waffling and babbling, and but you compare that with some of the great politicians. You'll be contrary, Obama, Thatcher, Kennedy, Reagan. Reagan was a brilliant speaker. And you get these assholes. I mean, surely they should. Do they not train them? I mean, Trump, I don't think he's trainable. He's like a, you know, you pick a dog up at the pound and you get it home and find it's deaf and it's blind. So you can't do shit all with it. So don't bother trying to train it because you're not going to get anywhere with the damn thing. But, you know, because I remember I read Margaret Thatcher's autobiography, which is two massive doorstep books. And one of the first things they did when she became prime minister was give her speaking lessons to bring her voice down an octave or two and just more steady, more slow. And, you know, they actually created the way she spoke, which is, again, she was an incredible speaker. But nowadays, we've got Trump, who nobody dare say boo to, and Boris Johnson, I don't even know, Johnson is just, I don't know. He's just, you know, embarrassment all around, really. So, this is the bit where Alistair and Tamara tell us that they're big Trump supporters, and I think Donald Trump is the best thing to slice.
Oh.
make America great again.
GRATE, maybe.
Don't get us started.
No, we keep our political comments to ourselves. We talk about it on Skype together and make things fun. And we do have a Trump joke in our books. I think Darling Girls we first put it in.
And yeah, it was
the Trump Towers. I can't remember what we called them. Harry Donaldson, who's the mayor, the governor of California, and he has this horrible chain of hotels. And I can't think what we called them. It sort of looks like the Capitol Records building, only spray painted gold. And it's just, that makes us happy. We never say but there's
a scoop. We get our little jabs in our,
well,
in our
here's,
work.
Here's
and
the thing. I one of my first novellas, a bizarro novella called I Am Joe's Unwanted Penis, about a penis that is, you should read it. It's a double feature with Fido, which is available on our website and Amazon, etc. And there's actually this pre-election actually Donald Trump joke in there, sort of joke about. Because obviously it's about this penis who is removed by because its owner is having a sex joke. Again, it's a bit of a parody on the Bruce Jenner thing as well. I haven't got everyone, to be honest. And then I forget how the gag is constructed.
Yeah.
It's pretty much they have this penis and they put a wig on it for some reason. I can't remember why they put a wig on. And it's literally the gag is it's not the first time they put a wig on a dick. Or something like that, and it's like, but it is, buy the book and read it. It is a great, it's a joke that builds up over a number of chapters, but it's well worth it. It's well worth it, but, yeah.
No.
But if you fancy, again, they were very big in England, the Reader's Digest. I think my mum used to steal them from the dentist's office, to be honest with you, and bring them home. And there was the series. It's like I am John. You call it John over there, but it was Joe over here. I am John's like spleen or liver, or I am Jane's breasts or ovaries or that sort of thing. And it was the organ. Describing, I was being biologist by trade. You know, I've always been fascinated by biology. I used to love those. And it's like, the liver was saying, I am this and that. So the whole book is, I say, not just I am Joe's penis, I am his unwanted penis. So it's sad as well.
It is, that
it's
is sad.
It starts off in the operating theatre just as he's being plopped into the little kidney-shaped stainless steel tray because nobody wants him.
Oh, I'm
going to cry. I know. For a day. And he has all sorts of little adventures to get back to his... his rightful owner, so it's a sad little title.
Well, we have to take a quick little break because I think James has to go wee or something. But and then we have to come back.
No, I've just done it in my pants. I'm all right. I'm good for another half hour. It will start going cold, but I can manage.
Okay. I don't know where to go from
not
here,
really.
Though, after,
I,
not really.
So, what we'll do, we will, once I can find the bloody thing, the button to press, each and every day has been one of those days, it really has. We'll have the break, and then we'll come back to a bit of normality, I think. We'll have readings and whatnot. Does that sound good?
Yay. It does.
Sure.
It does.
Yay.
Don't go anywhere.
Okay, right. Do not go anywhere. We'll be straight back after these messages.
The Panic Room Room Radio Show is sponsored by Hellbound Books, purveyors of all manner of dark fiction. You can find the publisher along with links to all their available works across platforms at hellboundbookspublishing.com. Hellbound Books is proud to be the first in the indie publishing business with their very own app on both Google Play and the App Store. In the mood for something steamy to read, check out new erotica author Jennifer Lynn's website at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James at his website, www.jameslongmore.com, and Xtina has an author page found on the Hellbound website. Don't forget to follow the Panic Room Radio Show on social media. Our Facebook page, Unofficial The Panic Room Radio Show, Twitter at Panic Room Radio, our YouTube channel, The New Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website at www.panicroomradio.com.
Such a whore, so self-aware, so full of shit, so indecisive, so adamant. I'll contemplate and thinking about thinking. It's overrated, just get another drink and watch me come undone.
Up and I've left it, so I've got a drink now.
I'll go. We'll get Tamara and Alice Strong. I know it winds her up. So I'm just going to keep on doing it. Hey, guys. Welcome back to what promises to be part two. And so you are here. You've obviously heard to plug something, otherwise you wouldn't give us a time of day. What are you plugging this evening?
What was that?
I couldn't hear you. What?
I don't know if we had
a confused woman phone in a month or two back who was looking for a completely different show. And she was great. I wanted her to phone in every week because she had no idea what's going on. It was brilliant. She was just great. I think she was looking for some sort of therapy group or something, panic attacks or something. Like, just go ringing every week, love. You're brilliant. So you're here to plug this evening. You have a new book out?
We both do, yes. We what,
together
we,
or individually?
Well, individually we mm-hmm. write a lot together, and but we do, we also have our solos, and Tamara's novel Brimstone came out in June. And my novel, The Silver Dagger, came out just a few days ago. So they were like right almost head to head. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well done. Good. So do you both have a reading or just tomorrow's war?
You see how
badly prepared I am for this show.
And I give him the notes and everything, but clearly doesn't read them.
A number of times I don't have the notes for tonight's show, so I sent you them like 3 days ago. I don't know where they are then, to be honest.
Yeah, Tamara is here to talk to us about her book Brimstone, right? And mm-hmm. I love the tagline: "Within the walls of the Brimstone Grand, the past has come back to life." I'm a sucker. Ghost story. Yeah, so that sounds really cool. Tell us more about it, Tamara.
Well, it's a coming-of-age story, and it's set in 1968, so it's got really good music. It's about a young girl, she's 11, who has quite the mother, an aging porn star mother, and who pretty much dumps her at an old hotel in a former mining town, and mm-hmm. with her grandmother, who's a former 30s, 40s actual movie star. And it's about them and about all the ghosts that in the family, the certain people, including Holly, our heroine, see ghosts. And it's a physical thing. So there's mm-hmm. lots of ghosts here because this old hotel used to be a hospital, a mining hospital. And this is all based on pretty closely on a town called Jerome in Arizona, with a wonderful old hotel called the Jerome Grand. And my hotel looks like that. The ghosts are all different and the people and all that, of course. But so that's what that's about.
I love ghost stories. I do. They are so...
They're my favorite.
I think that scares me the most. People who talk about they've had sightings or they think they've seen a ghost or something, I can actually say that I think that the ghosts know I couldn't handle it. I couldn't.
they're usually not very frightening. Yeah. Apparitions. Maybe, whatever they are. I've only run across one that was scared the patooties out of both of us, my husband and I. And all the other things in all the years we've explored, it's just interesting. But I don't think there's spirits going around talking to you or anything. I think they're just memories. Mm.
Oh,
but not
like,
in this book.
Kind of like The Shining, where they're just pictures in a book. They can't hurt you, remember? Yeah.
So. That's what they say.
You've got an act.
That's what Holly believes at first, because that's all she's seen until now. But that's what makes a ghost story fun, is to find out, even if you don't believe, maybe you should.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Do you have a reading for us, Tamara?
Sure. Just a little short one. This is Holly Tremaine, aged 11, is spending the night very reluctantly with her new best friend, Holly Granger, Becky Granger, geez. That's been a long day here, too. Becky's pearly pink bedroom is decorated with model horses and dolls, and Holly isn't impressed. All right, here's the scene. Wow, you have a lot of stuff. Holly peered into Becky's huge closet. There was a built-in cubby that held not only a dozen board games, but an ugly orange and aqua Barbie sports car, a Daktari jungle set, a tea set white with tiny pink roses. Beside the cubby were three black vinyl Barbie doll fashion cases that Becky opened to reveal four Barbies, a Midge, two Kens, and a Skipper, and more clothes for all of them than Holly could believe. "What do you think?" Holly burbled. "I'm getting a dream kitchen for my birthday and a Ricky so Skipper has a friend and an Alan so Mitch can get married and..." Holly spaced out. She didn't like the pastel pink room. She loved purple, cobalt, and ruby red, and she hadn't played with dolls since she was 8. She wouldn't tell Becky, but Barbies, especially the blonde ones, made her think of stale cigarette smoke clinging to her mother's hair when she came home late at night. In Holly's head, Barbie had alcohol on her breath and giggled the same high-pitched way her mother did when she was trying to get something from a boyfriend. Barbie was what Holly didn't want to be when she grew up, and the fact that almost every girl she knew loved Barbie dolls was why Holly preferred to hang out with boys. They were easier to get along with, easier to understand. Right now, she wished she was camping out and roasting marshmallows over a fire with Keith, or talking history with Steve Cross, or Adeline Chance, or having a root beer float made by Eddie Fortune and listening to him tell her about, well, anything he wanted to tell her about. Eddie's really cute. "Holly, are you listening to me?" "Sorry? Did you hear anything I said?" "Sure, your doll collection's really nice. Thanks, but did you hear what I said about how I want to marry Davy Jones and have three babies?" "Yeah, sure." "Who do you want to marry?" "I don't know." "Well, you can't have Davy. He's mine." "So who?" Holly shrugged. "Little Joe on Bonanza? He's cute. So, do you want to play Barbies now? They could go horseback riding." Becky started to rummage in her closet. Holly figured the girl would throw some kind of fit if she didn't play along. "I have an idea for a game," she said. "Maybe a Barbie and a Ken could be horse thieves." Holly held back a snicker at the look on Becky's face. "Huh? And the other Barbies and Ken could be the posse who catches them. I don't get it." Holly smiled. She couldn't help it. "Never mind. I just thought of it because of Little Joe." "Well, tell me more." "Never mind. You wouldn't like it." Becky was in her face now, all excited. "Tell me." "Well, I was just thinking," Holly drew the words out, "the posse could catch Barbie and Ken and hang them, string them up, you know, like in the old days." She lowered her voice. "I'll bet they hung horse thieves right here in Brimstone." Becky's eyes went wide. "You want to kill Barbie and Ken?" "I told you you wouldn't like it." Becky hesitated. "Then what?" "Well, then they could leave them hanging for Skipper and Mitch to find so they won't be tempted to steal horses either. And they could bury them. And then," Holly shook her head, "no, never mind, it's too much." "Tell me," Becky demanded. "Well, okay. Then the ghosts of the bad Barbie and Ken can come back and haunt them." Holly tilted her head sideways and stuck her tongue out. "They'd look like this." But Becky shook her head. "No, that's too scary." "Okay." Again, she wished she were somewhere else. Keith would have laughed. Becky's eyes lit up. "I know. We could have a horseback wedding for them, a double wedding. I have two bridal gowns, and we can take them all with us camping tomorrow. It'll be their honeymoon." "Oh, shoot," Holly said. "What?" "I forgot my toothbrush." That's it.
Oh, I love it. That's great.
No, that was great.
That was awesome.
Oh, my God. Oh, she
thanks.
Sounds like 10-year-old girl.
I do feel, you know, I feel a little dorky here because I would have been playing with Barbies with Becky. I loved Barbie, and I was so jealous of my cousin because she always had the really cool Barbies and, like, a ton of clothes. And, you know, I had my $5, you know, boring one with just the bathing suit.
You know, it's funny, too. My little girl went through a Barbie phase. And it's funny, they all end up the same. They always end up all naked but with no heads.
Before
we moved recently, she was going through a time. She had this big drawer was just full of them, and literally they were all naked and had their heads missing. And I, I lock my bedroom door at night now. It just frightens me.
My favorite was the Chatty Cathy, and I took the voice box out and put it in a pillow, and I just thought that was the funniest thing I'd ever done.
Awesome.
No, you know, I even had to wait for my daughter to, you know, when I had my daughter, I bought her Barbies just because I didn't have the Barbies I wanted, and I was so excited to buy these Barbies for her, and she never wanted them, so I used to sneak into her room at night and pretend like I was cleaning her room, but really I was just dressing the Barbies and, you know, brushing their hair and stuff.
Oh. That's awesome. My mom. She loved Barbies because she loved to sew, and she'd get them for me, and she'd make clothes for them, and I did play with them, but I did like horror movie Barbie, and I'd get her head chopped off, and I'd have her in a haunted house, and, you know, I'd kill her frequently, and that was, but that was
like
my
that
version
too.
Of play,
because
I really liked those stories.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, no, I was definitely a total, you know, girly girl. You know, I really was. But I did like to read, and I remember when I was younger, and you know, when I first started reading like scarier books, and it was at the time when what was her? Lois Duncan. I remember reading some books by her. The first one that really scared me was called Down a Dark Hall. I've seen things made that into, but I haven't seen it. But that just really scared me. She had some really good scary books. She really did.
Yeah, she did. I loved that one. That was a good one. I read that one and Daughters of Eve. There was a few. Yeah, she's pretty good. Yeah.
Stranger with My Face. Now that one really freaked me out.
Yep.
She had a lot of good ones. But and I actually read, it was like a while back, but she had something like her daughter was murdered or something,
there was some sort of crazy big mystery about that. I was reading about it too. I didn't know all this, but yeah, it's quite interesting. It's fascinating.
Yeah.
I don't crazy stuff.
Yeah, definitely. But it made me want to read more of her books.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Maybe it's all a publicity ploy, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know if I'd say that, but you never know.
But yeah, no, it's crazy.
I do, you know, when I'm reading a book, I do like to, you know, think to myself, I wonder what part of themselves have they thrown into these characters. And now I'm going to know that when I'm reading, you know, about the Barbies and Tamara's book, that she's the girl who doesn't want to play with Barbies.
I played with them. I am not Holly. I admire her, but she's had such a hard life. She's so brave and it's very admirable, but I'm glad I wasn't her. I had a nice mother and who also took me to cemeteries and everything else I wanted. She and bought me all the books I wanted. So even though she did like Barbie dolls better than I did, I liked playing war, you know, and Star Trek.
Nice.
War and Star Trek.
I just
when I came across any kind of Barbies or anything like that, I just made them have sex. I mean, I'm just going to say that. I'm just going to put that out there right now. That's how I did with them. I even got in trouble for drawing nipples on my sister's Barbies.
Whoa.
Oh, I did that on my own. Wow.
It did look weird. They needed something.
I do remember making them, you know, make out and stuff, but I think I was still a little too young. But, well, you know, this is a funny story, you know. So me and my cousin, she was prettier than me. She had more Barbies than I did. She had more, you know, her family had more money. I'm a little jealous. And I remember we had a fight one time, and we must have been like 12 or 13, still playing with Barbie dolls, but nobody knew, you know, and we got into this fight in school. And I bring the Barbie doll to school with me, and I threw it at her. I'm like, here's your Barbie you left at my house, just because I knew it would really embarrass her. So.
Oh, wicked.
You're kind of a little a-hole.
Well, that's as bad as I got, so, you know, it wasn't too bad.
That's not so bad.
No,
right. I mean, it could have been a lot worse, but to me that was the ultimate, you know, embarrassment.
Right.
I'm so funny.
I know. I was mean. But so we don't run out of time, Alistair, you were here to talk to us about your book, Silver Dagger. And that was, not too long ago it was released, right?
Yeah, a few days ago. Yeah, it finally came out
really?
A few days ago. It is, yeah. It's,
happy birthday.
Book. Oh, thank you. It's book two in the Vampires of Crimson Cove. The first book is called The Crimson Corset, which is named after a nightclub. It takes place in a creepy little California town called Crimson Cove. It's like a little tourist place where a lot of people come and go. And it's a vampire story, and you've got the vampires on one side of town who want to coexist with humans and think that there's, you know, they want to live peaceful lives. And then on the other side of town at the Crimson Corset, you've got the vampires who think that humans should all be slaves. And trapped in the middle is a young man named Cade Coulter, who kind of has this genetic disposition that makes him very savory to both sides. And the Silver Dagger just kind of picks up where the Crimson Corset left off, where they kind of thought they, you know, battled the bad guys, and that's not how it turned out. So not much to say without giving away spoilers, but it's lots of drama. There's a lot going on. Lots of drama.
I like your tagline as well. In the mountain town of Crimson Cove, the dead are alive and well. Now, when I read that at first, I thought, you know, we're talking about, well, you know what? Never mind. I was just going to say ghosts, but ghosts aren't alive and well. So never mind. I know. But, you know, anyway.
Well, it's kind of, we're always asking ourselves, because we both write vampire stories, along with our ghost stories and everything else. We do a little of everything. Mm-hmm. And we're both constantly, I think Tamara and I are a little bit, maybe too clinical sometimes. We're both constantly like, well, wait, if they're dead, how do we, and it's like, so we start trying to rationalize this, and then finally we're just like, you know what, they're vampires. Who cares? We don't know.
How
if
do they get erections if they're dead?
I know, exactly. Exactly.
Yes, definitely. There's no blood to flow, so. Yeah.
Right. we think way too much, and it's like, eventually you just have to come to that point where it's like, you know what,
yeah.
It's fiction. I can do whatever the hell I want. So.
That's true. You know, and I go back to Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and she was getting it on with the vampires, so, you know.
Right,
Yeah, and I got to say, I'm a total Spike girl, by the way. I'm, you know.
Me too. Much better than Angel.
Yes.
What a great show. Great dialogue.
It was. It's probably one of my favorite shows ever. I have the seasons on DVD, and I am trying to make the boyfriend watch them all over with me again for like the 50th time. And I love it. I do. And, you know, he's never seen like seasons 5, 6, and 7. And
really?
Watch. Yeah, right. And those are the best seasons. I made him watch the musical Once More with Feeling. And I am such
God.
A dork that I had the soundtrack to this, and I know all the songs, and I can sing them all for you.
Wow.
And, yes, it's.
I love
you know,
that.
Does your boyfriend like it, or does he just tolerate it?
He does. He's more of a sci-fi guy. He's the Star Trek and the Star Wars and the everything in that category,
yeah.
And I'm just like, oh God, you know. But no, he liked Buffy. He did. He liked Buffy. But I don't know why he didn't. I think he said to me when they introduced Dawn and didn't really say what who she was at first, you know. That kind of threw him off. And I don't think he watched too many after that. So, but
good. It just sparkles. It's the wit there.
Yes.
They invented words that we use now. You know. Turn nouns into verbs because of that show.
Yeah.
It's just so smart.
Yeah.
I love that show.
I remember I even had a book that it was called, I said it was called, and I was going to tell you, and now I have no idea what it was called, but it was something about the Buffyisms, you know, the words and the phrases that they use. So, yeah, I'm totally a Buffy nerd. That has the books and the comics and everything. And I love Buffy. Yeah, I know. I'm a dork. But, oh, the next time we have you guys on, we need to we're not even going to plan for time. We're just going to be like, we're just going to get in there and just start talking because time gets away from us really bad. And I'd like to hear the excerpt of Silver Dagger. Were you going to read it,
okay,
Alistair, or was Tamara going to read it?
I'm going to have
I'm
Tamara
always
do it
the reader.
The
he doesn't like
is,
to read.
I exactly. If I read, I sound bored. I don't perform. I have performance anxiety. So I just let Tamara do it.
Day by day, we read to each other every day. We work on our solos and our two collaborations daily, and we read back what we wrote. I always do the reading because I'm a horrible, horrible listener. It goes in one ear and out the other. He loves to listen. I only hear if I read. So
yeah, we balance each other out in that way. Yeah,
yeah.
I'm not a good reader. I'm really not. I don't take breaths. So that's and it just goes by so fast.
It just gets faster. She reads, she just gets faster, and faster, faster,
yeah.
It's like all one word at the end. It's terrible. It's terrible.
Yeah.
So we make James read it, yeah. So, but we're ready to hear the excerpt from Silver Dagger.
Well, this little scene, in this scene, Crimson Cove Sheriff Ethan Hunter, he's relaxing, it's after work, and he's waiting for his fiancée, the mortician, to get home, and his nosy neighbor, Gladiola Gelding, hammers on the door with needs of her own. Okay. He opened the door. Mrs. Gelding didn't wait to be invited in. She barged into Ethan's room, a tray of cookies in hand, her one-sided conversation trailing her like a loyal hound. Can you believe this heat and the humidity? Mrs. Gelding dropped the tray on the coffee table, then inflicted her bulk upon Ethan's favorite chair. I almost had a heat stroke in the kitchen baking these cookies for you. Her beady eyes followed him. Thanks. For a moment, he stood there. Sitting seemed like an act of surrender. But finally, defeated, Ethan eased himself onto the sofa. Mrs. Gelding was a steamroller, flattening folks into whatever shape most suited her, and after the day he'd had, Ethan didn't have the energy to fight it. He said, "How are you, Mrs. Gelding?" She wasted no time getting to the point. "Well, I can tell you I'd be a lot better if it weren't for all these bear attacks." A greasy, sliding feeling roiled through Ethan's gut. "It's all anyone is talking about at the senior hall, you know." Mrs. Gelding's piggy eyes sparkled with excitement. "I've never even heard of a bear attacking innocent people for no reason. Never. I do hope you figured something out. We're working on it." She sighed. "I suppose it's not my place to tell you how to do your job, but you might consider letting the public know what you're doing about this. We don't feel safe." Ethan frowned. "I can't talk about it at this point, but rest assured, we're doing everything we can." "Well, I don't know if that's going to be enough. The public deserves to know more." And what she meant, Ethan knew, was that she deserved to know more. There was nothing Gladiola Gelding loved so much as being the star of the Crimson Cove Senior Citizen Center on bingo night, the woman to whom all gossipers flocked. Just then, Sheila's headlights cut through the living room window. Mrs. Gelding prattled on, taking no notice even when Ethan's fiancé entered the living room. As Mrs. Gelding blathered, Ethan and Sheila exchanged glances. His said, "Help." And after a whimsical smile, Sheila said, "I've got this." "Hello, Mrs. Gelding." Sheila spoke a little too loudly, cutting the woman off as she perched on the sofa arm beside Ethan. "Oh, hello, dear." It was but a small speed bump in Mrs. Gelding's sermon, and as she opened her mouth to continue, Sheila sighed loudly and looked at Ethan. "Boy, am I glad to be home." She shook her head. "We had another groaner in the morgue tonight." Ethan suppressed a snort. Mrs. Gelding blinked. "A groaner?" Sheila nodded. "Yep. A lot of people don't know this, Mrs. Gelding, but sometimes dead people make noises. It's just air escaping the lungs, of course, but when you're in that dark room alone with the corpses, it's pretty alarming." Her gaze settled on the tray of cookies. She took one bit into it and groaned long and low. "These are excellent, Mrs. Gelding. Nothing gets the stench of formaldehyde out of my nose like your cookies. Thank you." She pushed the tray toward the other woman. You shouldn't have made so many, though. Please have one." All color had retreated from Mrs. Gelding's chubby cheeks. Scandalized, she shook her head. No, thank you, dear. I have plenty at home. Ethan was barely able to suppress laughter when Sheila barreled on. And twitching, too, usually in the smaller muscles. She popped the rest of the cookie in her mouth. I'll never forget the first time I saw a twitcher. Sheila grinned at Mrs. Gelding. I thought for sure there'd be some mistake and the guy was still alive. Yes, well, said Mrs. Gelding, it's a dreadful business, I'm sure. You get used to it, said Sheila. Her gaze cut to Mrs. Gelding, going grave. Well, some of it anyway. Not only do they groan and twitch, but sometimes they, well, Mrs. Gelding cleared her throat and hefted herself from the chair. I suppose I'd better be off. Ethan got to his feet and walked her out. Goodbye, Mrs. Gelding. After closing the door, he broke into laughter. We need to do that more often. Works every time. Sheila held an uneaten part of cookie to his lips and he bit into it. She does make damn good cookies, though. That's it.
You guys always have such great excerpts. There are times. I'm going to say that sometimes we'll have a guest come on and they bring an excerpt and I'm like, did you even think about this? Or like, you know, because you want to engage people. You want them to
what
be like,
thinking?
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, you know, there's nothing like 10 minutes of serious stuff.
Oh, we've had some serious stuff. We really have.
Yeah. We've put a 5-minute cap on ours, and that's really too long.
Yeah.
On our guests.
Yeah. Oh, do you know, I mean, there's some shows out there, and it's just like 2 hours of people just reading. It's like, no.
Don't.
It's pure death.
No, and we've talked about it a lot because we've done a lot of, you know, shows and stuff, you know, as guests. And it's like, you know, you can't give away spoilers. You can't, you know, you got to be really careful about that. And so we kind of tend to go with the funnier, lighter stuff as far as excerpts go.
Yeah,
and short.
Heavy dialogue. Lots of dialogue.
Heavy dialogue, short, and funny. That seems to be the best way to go because you start getting into even the, you know, even if there are no spoilers and you're getting into the, you know, big drama of the moment, it's like the thing is it's hard to get into drama if you don't have context, you know?
Yeah, it takes time. Although I have to say we have some of the erotica and the romance authors come on and they always pick a really good steamy part. And if they don't, we're like, hey,
we
want
like
the nudie bits. Yeah, where's the nudie bits here?
Yeah, could you get to the
If we did that, I'd start giggling. I wouldn't be able to read it because I'd laugh so hard.
Yeah,
that would be hard to get a reading of erotica for sure. Yeah, that would be tough.
When we read erotic parts out loud from our own books, when we're trained to, you know, hear how it sounds, usually one of us or both of us, sometimes we read back and forth, will lapse into accents like Blanche Devereaux from Golden Girls, or, you know, Life Was Like a Box of Chocolates guy. You know, and because we get to laughing so hard.
That would be great. Erotica. That steamy hot erotica read by Forrest Gump would be brilliant. I would buy that.
That's how we do it. It's because it's so, it's so, in that way, writing together is so intimate. And you know, we're not a romantic couple. So
we're more like twins.
It takes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a more of a sibling thing, and it takes the edge off, you know. So yeah, I'll do Blanche and she'll do Forrest Gump.
I admire you guys. I mean, you write together. I've never really collaborated in that way with someone. I've sort of co-written and ghostwriting that sort of thing, but you know, to work. People have said Xena and I should write together, but I think we'd end up killing each other. I think. I just couldn't see that happening. I would wind her up. She would wind me up, and it would just all end badly and probably in prison, to be honest.
Yeah, well, you know, and also
he
gets up at like 7 a.m. and I'm just going to bed at 7 a.m. So it's
right.
We've both tried collaborating before, both swear we'd never do it. Then we met, and it was like, oh, this is what we're supposed to do with our lives. It was weird.
Yeah.
And
it really,
we've been doing
really
it for 6 years now.
Yeah, and I think that's what it
comes
down
to. Well, that's brilliant.
It sounds crazy, but it's really
impressed.
Something deeper than that. Yeah, it's got to be like the
it's something deeper. I don't know. There's no other way to say
it.
You can't
we know when we're
going to
text each other before we do it. Yeah, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
Real crazy. It's more intimate than sex. You know, it's different. Thank God. That would be weird.
Well, again, I would probably, you know, I would buy that. Yeah. So.
Well, we are about out of time for our show.
That's terrible.
The next time, I was saying the next time we're just gonna, we're not even gonna set a, you know, the clock. We're just gonna go in and
just run on.
Because we could do this for another hour, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But before you guys go, tell us where we can find you online.
I'm at TamaraThorne.com, and you know what, Alistair, you always do this. You have this all memorized. You do it.
Okay. That's okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, really, it's. I think you can find. Our websites are the number one place. Tamara is TamaraThorne.com. Mine is AlistairCross.com. Really easy to remember, and that's probably the easiest thing because really, if you go there, you'll find us on everything else. We've got our books there. We've got our social media links. We've got all kinds of fun stuff. So I would just say, the radio show stuff. Yeah. So just go to our websites, TamaraThorne.com and AlistairCross.com.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for coming.
Well, thank
back.
You for joining us. It's been an absolute
We had a blast.
you guys, thank you. Thank you for having us. You guys are great fun. You're a breath of fresh air. We always like coming. Mm-hmm. You guys are fun. So thank you.
You are.
Thank you.
We
will be on your show again soon. That was
absolutely.
We had
absolutely.
A really good time on your show. It's great. So there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got ourselves booked up for a while, but we'll get you in there.
Some squeezes in somewhere tomorrow.
We'll squeeze you.
It is. I'm afraid it is time to say goodnight, Xtina.
Goodnight, Xtina.
Goodnight, Xtina.
Shows together. I never wanted you to listen before, so why should I walk? One look is all it took to remember.